It's 12:07. This is Midday Matters on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Friday, June 14th. With me in studio, of course, just back from a long journey. Welcome back, Julia Meek. How are you?
Well, thank you, and so happy to be back here in the heart of things in the Fortland. And you know, the official summer season I'm seeing everywhere is so close you can taste it. And we're taking a big bite out of Summer Food Fair on today's Midday Matters Art Center, so I'm extra glad to be back for that. We're beginning with a double helping of summer food tips from Angie Quinn, the fresh food advocate and owner of Pembroke Bakery and Cafe. And then in our second segment of the show, we're hitching a ride on the summer food truck activity here in the Fortland with Raging Cajun's John Maxwell and Bo Gonzalez of Bravo's Dogs. And all of our listeners are so invited to join the conversation here at our table, too. So you can all be ready to give us a call at 800-471-9264 or post your comments and questions on our Midday Matters Facebook page. But first, as Sean and I just love to do, we each have a quick pick art tip for you to consider this fair weather arts-filled weekend, should you need a suggestion. Well, what's your pick, Sean?
My suggestion this weekend is Mudville, live at the WonderCommer. I know, I love the name, the WonderCommer Gallery and Performance Space, Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's tonight, June 14th, starting at 9 p.m. And WonderCommer Company is at 3402 Fairfield Avenue. To give you just a taste, Mudville, they're a Brooklyn-based band and an artist collective whose sound is kind of a hybrid of down-tempo, electronica, Memphis-style soul, a little bit of jazz. It was actually called Post Trip Hop by the New Yorker. So that's a little taste. But tonight, Mudville, live at WonderCommer Gallery and Performance Space, starting at 9 p.m.
Something different is something different. And that sounds swell. I'm saying some good old classic rock. In fact, Rock in the Plaza. That's my suggestion this wild and crazy weekend. It's a fantastic free concert every Saturday evening at the through the summer at the Allen County Public Library Plaza. And they start at 6 o'clock. And this week's tomorrow, and that's June 15th, Juke Joint Jive, Classic Automatic, Soft and Heavy, and Yellow Dead Betty's. That's some major rockitude, gotta admit. It's all free, it's all great. That's tomorrow night beginning at 6 at 900 Library Plaza. Rock it.
Lots of great music this weekend. Looking forward to it.
And, you know, in the meantime, if you have to be well-nourished to do all that music enjoyment, and here to share some tasty advice for a summer full of healthy, tasty, and easy eating is Pembroke Bakery and Cafe Faye's own Angie Quinn. Welcome to Midday Matters, Angie.
Thanks, Julia. How are you?
Well, thank you. Well, hungry. I'm making myself hungry. No, you're making me hungry. We hope to cover many avenues and aspects of great summer eats this segment. Let's start with the total basic. How do our eating habits change in this wild and wonderful summer season?
Well, I could answer that as an eater myself, and I notice I eat a lot less, and that I tend to want to eat very fresh things. Fruits and vegetables are sometimes the not only am I hot, but I feel dried out, and you want something that has, you know, juiciness to it. So a lot of times people will go towards, you know, the fresh produce. It's in season. And a little bit of the heavier fare kind of goes to the wayside. A little bit. Not saying that any of our bakery products are losing, you know, out in terms of people buying them. But there is a definite difference. At the bakery, we're seeing that people, when they come in for lunch or when they come in for dinner, they're more likely to buy a sandwich or a salad than to pick up the soup. You know, it's a little warm for soup, although we've been doing like the cold gazpacho, which is really popular.
Sure.
Whenever it gets above 85, we're trying to do something chilled. So,
and in the meantime, while folks can enjoy wonderful food by supplementing their daily fare with bought products such as yours, and also lots of fresh produce, how is it done? How can we be on the easy lookout for obtaining goodies to either add to our diet or to cook with or prep with for a good, tasty summer meal? I know there's a lot of farm farm market and such going on.
There are so many farm markets out there, and the whole emphasis of what a farm market does is evolving here in Fort Wayne. I'm going to be working with a group of people over the next year to help identify a place to create like a permanent indoor public market. I don't know if you knew that.
No, that is brand news.
And that will be something that is not only a farmer's market thing, but it'll also be like an economic incubator. So someone who wants to start a small business, maybe someone like Bo or our friend the Ragin' Cajun, or even someone like Pembroke Bakery can get a start by having a space where they could have a limited size, a limited lease, you know, a limited upfront, you know, going into it, and then we'll be able to serve the public, see whether or not their business can grow. So I'm kind of excited about doing that, but that's long term. Short term, farmers markets all over the place. You know, it's Friday, so there must be a farmers market somewhere. I think today is the West Main Street Market. On Saturday, there's Bar Street. There's the Fort Wayne Farmers Market at Bar Street. There's the Southside Farmers Market. On Sunday, I think the East State Boulevard Market starts. And then through the week, there's all sorts of places. And so pretty much in Fort Wayne anymore, I think Monday might be the only day of the week where you can't find a market somewhere. And fresh produce, it's all coming in now. It's a treasure. It's a treasure trove when you stop it now. So.
And speaking of fresh produce, now we know that everything we will see for sale at the farmers market is not quite exactly ripe and coming from right here in our own fields because it might be too early in the season yet. But
No, it's not too early. the number of growers locally who are willing to do the things that they need to do to extend seasonality is increasing. There are people doing hoop houses, so you can get kale in January. I've been buying local organic tomatoes, local, you know, like within like 50 miles of here, tomatoes, for almost a month already at the co-op. So, you know, there's definitely an interest and that's expanding. I know there's a few people doing hydroponics who are growing greens all winter now. And so you can find those people at the farmers market. But even in your own garden, if you've got out there early and started doing what you needed to do, you're probably beginning to harvest peas. You might have some lettuce already. You might have, you know, arugula. It's a little early for tomatoes in our yards yet. But, you know, there's all sorts of things already beginning. Strawberries are ripe. I've been picking cherries from my own home tree already, and of course we're serving them at the bakery. It's not too early at all. So no.
And so, well, then I'm happy to know that there's just all of the fresh fruit and produce waiting out there. Okay, it's a busy time of year, mm-hmm. whether folks are going away or staycationing or just having to do their daily workload. How can they incorporate the salads and all of the good things easily and tastily into their diet?
I don't know. Define easily, because I do those things on such a regular basis. It's kind of just a habit that I'm in now. I think that you know, adding any kind of green salad is the first place, the easiest place to start. Adding some fresh fruit. You know, there are salads that are easily created in all manners. Occasionally, I'll do something with rice or with pasta. So, you know, you can toss either fruits or vegetables or sometimes a combination of both. You know, pick your favorite dressing, throw it all together. You know, voila, you have a side dish. Add a little bit of vegetarian protein, and in my case, like beans or something like that, and voila, you have a main dish. So, you know, there's it's easy to do that.
And you do make it sound easy, and that is the point. We are happy to be discussing all things summer food fair and plenty of good tips from Angie Quinn, and she is the owner-operator of the Pembroke Bakery and Cafe.
Yes, Pembroke Bakery and Cafe.
And also really a fresh food advocate, I think, for decades here in Fort Wayne, and so it's wonderful to have your opinion. Now, another thing that summer fair brings instantly to mind is picnics, mm-hmm. reunions, and other outdoor fare. How about some guidelines for taking one's own or taking a dish to a party or an affair that is outside that doesn't have a regular refrigeration or perhaps no refrigeration?
Good question. you know, oftentimes when you're going to a picnic, if you're preparing a protein, you know, you're keeping that cold until you throw it on the grill, you know, so that oftentimes that's prepared on site. So I'm not going to really talk about that. As a vegan baker, I'm not really sure I could answer those questions. So don't ask me the baking, they're the barbecue questions. Okay.
I promise.
All right. But in terms of the other things, you know, if you're carrying something that is at least somewhat acidic, whether that be you've sliced tomatoes ahead of time or you've put together one of those salads I just mentioned, and you're not putting any sort of milk product in it or an egg product in it, like mayonnaise, or, you know, I think some of the coleslaw dressings have those things in it. If you're not adding those, you're probably okay keeping it as is. You probably want to serve it within 2 hours because that's generally a safe holding time. If it's going to be any longer than that, you want to put it on ice. And if you have anything like, you know, a macaroni salad or potato salad or coleslaw that does have, you know, a dressing that has milk or egg in it, you definitely want to keep it chilled as much as possible, as long as possible. And you want to serve it for as short of time as possible. You don't want to go back and eat that because it's been sitting on the buffet table like 4 hours later. No. Okay.
We're talking summer food on this edition of Midday Matters, and we do need to take a quick break, but we hope in the meantime you'll get in touch with us online. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/MiddayMatters. You can always tweet us at Midday Matters, and if you'd like to send us an email question or comment, that's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us, back in 2 minutes.
On the next Fresh Air, the reign of King Henry VIII and the beheadings he ordered, including that of his wife Anne Boleyn. We talk with Hilary Mantel, author of the best-selling historical novel Wolf Hall and its sequel Bring Up the Bodies. Each book won the Man Booker Prize, Britain's highest literary honor. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Enjoy great wines and a gourmet 7-course meal at the second annual Picked by the Pros Wine Dinner, Friday, June 21st at the Bergstaff Place, presented by O'Daniel Audi Porsche. Tickets are $125 per person or $800 for a table of 8. Purchase online at nipr.fm or call WBOI at 452-1189.
The Grange has been an institution for generations of farmers. The organization is gaining young new members, among them organic farming green activists.
Change is scary. They see hippies, quote unquote, all of a sudden becoming involved and, oh my God, we're being taken over.
The Grange's future, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's Spirit of Giving Award recipient, B.F. Goodrich, USW Local 715. That's what it means to live united. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC. Jobs may change. Retirement dreams don't have to. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
It's 1222. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOI, your station for NPR News, diverse music, and of course, Midday Matters arts-centric. I'm Sean Beter. That laughter you hear over there, it's the star of the program, Julia Meek. Julia, we're making me hungry on this edition of the show.
We are working up an appetite, and we have a perfect guest for that, and that is Angie Quinn, of the owner of Pembroke Bakery and Cafe, and certainly a fresh food advocate for many years here in the Fortland. We love that about you. And as we were talking in the break, Angie, to a lot of people, summer food fair means festival.
Absolutely.
which I see nothing wrong with that. And Sean certainly heartily agrees that that's a good way to catch up on some fine summer food eating. But what about it? Wonderful things can we find at festivals? And what wonderful things maybe should we avoid at festivals?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to answer that question as someone who has a special diet, okay, and has a husband who does not have a special diet. So, you know, when we make it to the festivals downtown, whether it be the Not All Junk Food Alley at Three Rivers Festival, or the amazing, you know, choices this weekend at Rib Fest or Greek Fest, or, you know, just every fest under the sun downtown, you know, there's always going to be some things that look really, really good, but probably aren't so good for you. So eat those in moderation, you know. If you are someone who does struggle with, you know, finding something because you have an allergy or this or that, you know, ask the vendors. They should know what's in their products, you know, absolutely. And, you know, remember that while you're downtown, there's an awful lot of other places that are available as well. So if you didn't find what you're looking for, you know, you can, you know, walk a little bit farther. There are a host of different restaurants on Calhoun Street. We're on Main Street. And oftentimes the food trucks, who will be in your next segment, oftentimes they're hovering around somewhere very close by as well. So you can, you know, stop at Bravas and get your vegan dog if that's what you're looking for. Or you can stop over at Pembroke Bakery. This weekend's Rib Fest, so I've already smoked the tofu and I've made the homemade barbecue sauce, and so we're ready to go. So
you are in spirit. Good for you.
we try to be. But you know, the folks that we see sometimes at the bakery are folks who have gluten allergies, and that can be really, really difficult at a festival, because oftentimes, you know, when you're thinking about food prep in one of those portable, you know, kitchens, it's really hard to have an area that can be separated out so you know that you're doing something gluten-free. So I think that probably is a big struggle, maybe even the biggest struggle, I think, for folks who are trying to go to the festivals. But, you know, there are always going to be some, you know, every family has someone who has like the special thing they can't eat, it seems like, anymore. So again, don't be afraid to ask, and remember that there's other places downtown.
And that's a good point. Whether any town, USA or even abroad, you can always look local and look healthy and happy. And in as far as supplementing a diet, I would say in this case, how can folks stretch their imagination so they can get fresh items? They might not make muffins or pastries, but where can you find those?
You know what? Whether you're coming back from, because you've been to one of the festivals and you were good and you didn't eat five desserts or, you know, three desserts or whatever, and but you know that sugar fix is
sure,
you're having it now or you're needing it now, you know, or you're on your way to the picnic, the places to stop are, there's a number of really good delis in town. Albright's over on the south side makes extraordinarily incredible sausages, I hear.
and other and, deli items, but
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, well,
the
known
co-op has a good deli area. I think Fresh Market has one, although I tend not to get out there. I've been so busy baking for the last 2 years, I'm not doing as much shopping as I used to do. But, you know, oftentimes your local spot, I think Pio's Market is a local place to shop as well. And you can always call ahead to your favorite restaurant. I mean, there's nothing to keep you from calling, you know, Deli 620 and saying, hey, I'm going to a picnic. Can you make blah, 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 and I will come and pick it up. You know, I just need 2 quarts of it. And they'll be happy to do that. You know, pretty much any of the local, you know, restaurants in town can accommodate you that way.
And they know
they want to. So.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And they want, I mean, everybody is celebrating summer and everybody celebrate that we have just mentioned celebrates food. Certainly not the least of which is your own Pembroke bakery and cafe. So give folks a little rundown. Tell us where it is.
Okay, we are we're kind of art centric ourselves. We are in the Auer Center for Arts and Culture at 300 East Main Street. It's across the street from the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. It's across the street from the Arts United Center, catty corner from Fire Station Number 1. In case you're having trouble finding us, the parking lot is being torn up right now for this really really great new addition that Arts United is putting on the building. But there is parking. Be patient. Go down the alley. You'll find the parking area. We promise it's still there. And, you can come and see us, or you can come and see us at our new location opening hopefully next week at the Pembroke Express, and that's going to be in the Starbank Building at 127 West Berry.
And they know it's a little late if one wants to be one's own farmer as well as gardener of good foods, and there's a lot of good places to get your seeds and your plants and everything. That is not too late. And I also know that the Pembroke Bakery and Cafe is a retail supplier of Seed Savers Exchange heirloom vegetable and herb seeds. Why are those important?
Those are important because they are open pollinated. The company is actually a nonprofit organization whose goal is to maintain the genetic variability of our foodstuffs. If we don't grow the old varieties or the oddball things, we're going to lose those genetic pieces of information, and eventually we could end up in a situation where we can't grow the wheat that we're growing anymore and all the old wheat is gone. So we don't want that to happen. I don't know that I have wheat seeds at the bakery right now, but we do have other ones, and efforts like that are really important. There are still seedlings at the farmers markets, so if you didn't get your tomatoes yet, stop somewhere this weekend, and I'm sure you can buy tomato plants or pepper plants, and it's still not too late to get them in the ground.
About 2 minutes left in this segment, and I want to, as always, invite our listeners to join us on Facebook, facebook.com/MiddayMatters. You can always email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our, or you can also send us a tweet, I should say, at Midday Matters. Julia.
And Angie, as we do just have a minute or two left, first of all, thank you for spending your lunch hour, which you would be working anyway, with us here on Midday Matters.
Like I said, the barbecue tofu was done. The muffins were in the oven. It was good for me to go.
Like Sean and I said, you are making us hungry. And of course, that's a good way to be, I guess, besides wishing everybody a happy summer and certainly bon appetit, quick suggestion for how to celebrate the whole summer of good food right here in the heartland?
Stop at your favorite place on the way or the way back to get the thing that you want to take to the party or to that you didn't get while you were there and you still need. Ride your bike if you can. It's good for you, and it'll help offset any of those extra calories that you got. Every one of us who breathes the air in downtown Fort Wayne will thank you for riding your bike.
And that is with a certain good tip. You can double your food pleasure if you do it on a bicycle. I like that. And Angie, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Midday Matters.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
We do need to take a quick break for the news here. We'll continue the program in just about 4 minutes. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Art Centric.
On the next Fresh Air, the reign of King Henry VIII and the beheadings he ordered, including that of his wife Anne Boleyn. We talk with Hilary Mantel, author of the best-selling historical novel Wolf Hall and its sequel Bring Up the Bodies. Each book won the Man Booker Prize, Britain's highest literary honor. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
It's only 3 pounds and controls every thought and movement, but scientists are still puzzled by the brain. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at how scientists are trying to map consciousness, plus a chat with Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn. That's on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOY News. Governor Mike Pence has named four new members to the state panel charged with overseeing the nitty-gritty of Indiana education policymaking. As State Impact Indiana's Kyle Stokes reports, the appointments to the State Board of Education come at a critical juncture.
Key questions face the state board in the coming months: how to handle the disrupted ISTEP exam, how to rewrite the state's rating system for schools. And then there's the politically challenging question of what to do with the nationally crafted Common Core academic standards. Though state lawmakers paused their rollout in Indiana classrooms this legislative session, state board members have usually supported the standards. But Pence's appointment of former Indianapolis Star editorial page editor Andrea Neal gives Common Core opponents a voice on the panel. Newly selected board member and Indiana Wesleyan University Dean Brad Oliver has written the Common Core standards are well-crafted but worth further study. Appointee Troy Albert, the principal of the Henryville School a tornado left in ruins last year, declined to discuss his personal opinions, saying he wanted to keep an open mind.
I need to hear all the impact of all the issues, but I just feel like I'm here to serve the state of Indiana.
Pence also selected IU South Bend Professor David Freitas for a four-year term that begins on July 1st and reappointed two other board members to new terms, Avon teacher Sarah O'Brien and Marion University President Dan Elsner. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Kyle Stokes.
Indiana conservation officers will be taking part in a national campaign aimed at raising awareness of the dangers of boating under the influence of drugs or alcohol. They will be taking part in Operation Drywater, scheduled for June 28th through the 30th, which is the weekend before July 4th. The program is part of a nationwide education and enforcement initiative developed by the National Association for State Boating Law Administrators in partnership with the Coast Guard. The State Department of Natural Resources says boating while intoxicated accounts for a disproportionate number of on-the-water deaths. In 2011, alcohol was a contributing factor in 8% of boating accidents overall, but involved in 17% of boating deaths. Indiana Department of Transportation Commissioner Michael Klein will leave state government for a job at Purdue after the State Ethics Commission gave their approval Thursday. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, the move is made possible by a waiver from the governor.
NDOT and Purdue University collaborate on a number of projects, notably the Joint Transportation Research Project, and Purdue receives federal money through an NDOT program. Normally, outgoing NDOT Commissioner Michael Klein would have to wait a year after leaving state government before taking a job with an employer that's linked to the state agency he's been leading. But Governor Mike Pence's office has issued a waiver allowing Klein to skip that requirement and become Purdue's vice president for physical facilities. In the waiver, the governor's office says Klein's experience as NDOT commissioner will benefit his service to the state university and is therefore in the public interest. The Purdue position would have required Klein to lobby the legislature, something that is prohibited for 1 year after leaving a state government position. Purdue says other employees will carry out that function. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The Bureau of Motor Vehicles is closing its license branches and website for a day so state technology staff can upgrade its computer system. The branches will be closed Saturday, and mybmv.com will be down starting 6 a.m. Saturday until repairs are completed. Branch offices are expected to resume normal business hours on Monday. And today, you can expect sunny skies with a high near 79 degrees. This evening, we'll have partly cloudy skies and a low of 56. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOI, your station for NPR news and diverse music.
It's 12:35. This is Midday Matters on WBOY, your station for NPR News, diverse music, and of course, Midday Matters art-centric. With me in studio, of course, Julia Meek. And Julia, as I mentioned a little while ago, stomachs are rumbling across the Madge Rothschild studios this hour.
And it's a good rumble.
Yeah.
And we have worked up quite an appetite for summer food fair, I've got to say, on this tasty art-centric edition of Midday Matters. In this segment, we're actually hopping a ride on the great local food truck circuit with Raging Cajun's John Maxwell and Bo Gonzalez of Bravas. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
The busy Friday midday, we know. And we'd like to learn about all things food trucking, starting with how you two food warriors were inspired to jump on that food bandwagon. Let's begin with you, John.
Well, for me personally, I've been in the restaurant business over 40 years, and I've owned nightclubs and restaurants down in New Orleans and managed clubs across the country. And I know the level of dedication, the hours it takes to own and operate a brick-and-mortar restaurant, 8 days a week, 20 hours a day. It's tough. This offers me a little opportunity to where you don't have to have the doors open 7 days a week. You can go out when it's nice weather. If it's a rainy day, you finally get a day off. So the flexibility in the scheduling was very attractive to me.
I get you do make it sound awful easy, which we're going to tackle in just that theory in just a second. And what about you, Bo? You're a Fort Wayne native, and what inspired you to one day want to have a food truck?
Well, I was quite the opposite of John. I'd only been in restaurants for like 4 or 5 years, so I had no idea like the hours like doing it on my own was going to take. But I just had a stint in college, came back to Fort Wayne, and thought it was about time something happened in Fort Wayne, some sort of cool street food. Just did my research, and you know, there's this place in Chicago that really inspired me. It's Hot Dogs. They do like awesome hot dogs.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, I can do that. So started it up.
Did you have, through your college years, of course, you had an appetite and you had to eat, but otherwise, did you really see yourself delving into the cooking and selling world all at one time, or were you really just driven by the desire to see a good food truck and come to Fort Wayne?
Yeah, you know, it was about a month. It took me a month to get inspired and get started. So as soon as I got back, I just saw the opportunity, did some research, and just got going.
Okay, back to my original suggestion there. You guys do make it look and seem so fun and easy. It sounds like it's fun. Is it necessarily easy? And let's, again, go to you, John, for that.
No. No, not easy. It's what the difference between a brick and mortar and the food truck is, you have all the problems of a restaurant: equipment maintenance, cleanliness, staffing, everything, but then you throw in transmissions, flat tires, and mm-hmm. things like that. And you have to basically clean and break down and set up an entire restaurant kitchen every day. It's not like you just pull a truck in the garage and walk away from it. Everything comes off, goes into our refrigerators, the dishes are washed in our commissary according to Board of Health sanitation rules and things like that. So it's a very, very physical job. To get on the road, for me personally, for say a 3-hour lunch shift, takes about 5 hours of prep beforehand and about 2 hours of breakdown and cleanup afterwards.
Is that similar in your food world, Bo?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just doing a lunch shift, you're only selling for a couple hours, but you know, before and after, it's a good 8-hour day. If you have a couple events in one day, you're going to be working 16 to 20 hours in one day.
Now, again, that compares with a brick-and-mortar restaurant, as you said, and you don't have the vehicle upkeep and maintenance, but you have all of the cleaning and the prep and the post and all of that to go through. But in the meantime, you have such limited space on a food truck, and what is that like in the course of a day or a week or even a summer season?
I liken it to cooking on a submarine. Every square inch counts, you know. And if you learn every day as you go, well, no, maybe I should put it on this shelf instead of this shelf. And if the organization works itself out, the prep works itself out, it does make the actual service smoother.
And Bo, I know that you have, well, you kind of do, you wear a double cap sometimes because you have the Bravas dogs as well as Bravas expanded, yeah. But and that, by the way, speaks to having multiple vehicles. And what did you start with back in the day when you first opened your business?
We first started in May 2011 with the hot dog cart, just pretty much to test the waters to see if this was something that Fort Wayne could support and if even if they liked it. So it was very small scale. It was easy to get going, and we had a lot of support. So the following year, we, during the winter, invested in the food truck, and now we have Brava's Dogs and Brava's.
I'm curious, John and Bo, you can certainly jump in on this too. I mean, why food trucks now? I mean, because for so long, you know, Fort Wayne, really cities all across the country, you know, they may have had the food trucks that visit, you know, manufacturers, you know, it's just boxed sandwiches and maybe a candy bar, or soda, things like that. What do you have you seen in your customers that has made them demand this food? Why was it, where did this demand come from, and why now? Maybe John, we'll start with you.
The demand, I believe, has always been there. We're just addressing it. The food truck too is seen as a fun, mobile, hip kind of thing too, and you can bring the food to the people wherever they are, being having out in the park, riding bikes or whatever like that, as opposed to being a fixed destination and waiting for them to come to your door. So you're out amongst the people. And it just lends a lot looser, a lot more festive atmosphere to the whole situation.
And Bo, is that what you've seen with Brava's too? It's much more of a kind of a looser social thing?
Oh, definitely. Like the cool thing with food trucks too is we utilize social media, I think, a lot more than brick and mortar restaurants do, and it causes a cool interaction with the customers. You know, at the end of the day, I like to tweet at the customers, you know, thank them for coming out. And then it just, you know, has them thinking like, oh, where are you going to be tomorrow?
Trying to track you down.
Exactly, which is cool. It's something they get to do. It's more of an activity than just going to get some lunch.
We do need to take a break here in just a few moments. But, Bo, this is a whole scene now in Fort Wayne. I mean, you all are here, of course, but there are any number of trucks in Fort Wayne now. Can you talk a little bit about that community and how it's grown up so quickly?
Yeah, definitely. Around last year, and I'd say it was like August around there, we formed the Food Truck Association. Jim Garrigan headed that up with Jumbie's Joint. Mm-hmm. So last year, I think it was the year it took off. We had John coming in with Raging Cajun. You have the Getaway Grill, who does like Mexican tacos, Jumbie's Joint, like I said, doing American classics. Afine is like a local, like they do farm to fork. They get a lot of locally sourced ingredients. And I think the more people that have an idea of doing a food truck, seeing more trucks pop up gets them thinking that, you know, maybe this is something I can actually do.
We do need to take a quick break here. We'll return in just about 2 minutes. And in the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch with us. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/middaymatters, or send us a tweet @middaymatters. Stay with us. Back in 2 minutes.
I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a chat with one of the founding fathers of Earth Day, renewable energy pioneer Dennis Hayes. And when it comes to climate change, there are no happy clams. We'll talk about how ocean acidification is hurting the shellfish industry. That's all on Science Friday from NPR. Every Friday afternoon at 2 on Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI.
The Grange has been an institution for generations of farmers. The organization is gaining young new members, among them organic farming green activists.
Change is scary. They see hippies, quote unquote, all of a sudden becoming involved and, oh my God, we're being taken over.
The Grange's future today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Last week on Car Talk, you missed a brilliant demonstration of first-rate diagnostic skill.
Because I think what may be happening is... This is stupid. How do you let me do stuff like this? Well, you just sit there...
I tried to bail you out by saying
it's
one
It's like playing
hand.
Hangman. I feel the noose tightening around my neck, and you're not doing anything.
For more clear and concise car advice, join us this week for Car Talk.
Saturday and Sunday at 10 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
It's a quarter till 1 o'clock. You're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Friday, June 14th. With me, of course, Julia Meek in the Madge Rothschild Studios. And Julia, we've had one heck of a show so far.
In a word, yummo. And in a couple of more, yes, we are enjoying, actually, keep on trucking the good old foodway right here in the Fortland. And for that, we have Bo Gonzalez of Brevis, and we have John Maxwell of the Raging Cajun. And unfortunately, we don't have the aroma radio feature on this on a WBOI, so you cannot smell the jambalaya that is wafting through the air studio. Not a normal time of year when normal occasion for Midday Matters, but when the food truck guys come, everybody wins. And that begs the question, as we sit here either eyeing our delicious jambalaya or eating it, depending on how talkative
it's
we
are. It's lunchtime, we're hungry.
It is Midday Matters. Let's talk about the, of course, need to have creative, clever, doable menus in your food trucks, guys, and how you come upon recipes and keep them and be able to add new things to the menu. And let's start with you, Bo.
Yeah, that's a huge thing with food trucks is usually a food truck has a concept to it, something you can really establish and work on. So with us, I mean, we do the gourmet hot dogs, and we do some weird ones. We do a dog of the week now, which we've been getting so busy with some things, it's kind of been like almost every other week now. But anyway, we've done about 45 plus different ideas for hot dogs.
Wow.
about the craziest one we did is we put a chocolate ganache and bacon with some crushed pretzels, and I thought it was not going to sell, and it was just flying out of the truck. People just wanted it because it was weird.
And everybody does celebrate their friend Mr. Chocolate, as Eileen Goltz would say, as well as the whole bacon and the dog movement. I get that. And before we go to you, John, I'd also mention you have to have easy to prepare in your food truck as well as easy to stand there and eat truck side for your customers. And so I'm sitting here eyeballing because I am talking, so I won't take a bite of this wonderful jambalaya. But how do you push the envelope of creative recipes for your own Raging Cajun food truck? Is that a staple, your jambalaya?
Absolutely, it's a staple. We have four or five items, the jambalaya, the catfish po' boy, the overstuffed shrimp po' boys. Those are our standards that we pretty much always, 99% of the time, have on the truck. And then the flexibility comes in where we're not just Cajun food, we also serve a Creole food too. The difference is the Cajun was the country cooking in the bayous of Louisiana with the Cajun people. The Creole was the city cooking, which is a little more elegant style of cooking because they had access to spices from the port of New Orleans, from all over the world, choice ingredients and things like that. So we offer the jambalaya and the Cajun things, but on the Creole side, we have such a wide variety. Being at the elegant menu, we do things like the half of avocado stuffed with real crab meat and a champagne vinaigrette dressing. And I draw the menus and the items from my experience throughout the restaurant business, where every place I've ever worked, managed, or eaten for that matter, I've always picked out one or two dishes like, hey, this is great. It's easy to prepare, or maybe not necessarily easy, but it's doable in the process. You can't just say, oh, we're going to serve this on the truck. You have to figure out how you're going to get it there, how it's going to be prepped, how it's going to be stored, how it's going to be heated, how it's going to be served, and then move it on out from there. It's quite a process.
And in a virtual tour, as I'm going to ask you guys to give me, of the back end of your truck, the business end of your truck, what is fit in there, and how do you make everything come out? Start with you, Bo.
All right, so in our truck, we have two fryers, and then next to those is a 3-foot griddle. And then we have two saute burners and a steam table, so it kind of runs the whole length of the backside of the truck. If you look in through the window, you can see where we're working. So we usually have one guy manning the fryers and the griddle, and then I finish the dog. So on the saute burner, we boil our water with a beef base, and we boil our dogs in there. And then on the fridge side, you have all the condiments keeping cool. So it kind of runs from left to right and then back to the window.
And for folks who may not have seen the trucks, what are the dimensions of your truck?
It's 20 feet long and 7 feet wide. So the 7 feet wide thing is the tricky part. There's not a lot of space to really move around.
I would think that the cooling and air conditioning, and of course the exhaust for all of the fryers that obviously you guys have, has to be pretty daunting also. And are you your own mechanics for that side of things?
Not me. I'm not a mechanic at all.
John's shaking his head too.
I can fix a sandwich. I can't fix a motor.
Well, then okay. That's everybody does have their perfect job description. Also to know, it sounds like you have 2 or 3 people actually staffing a truck during an open business situation. Is that a good number?
Definitely. I have a lot of friends that just kind of even just help out. They just want to be a part, like want to be on the truck helping, which for me is great because we're still in the growing process. So, but yeah, usually a regular lunch, we have me and one other person working. My sister is also a co-owner with me. So that's my business partner. She's out actually working the truck right now with a friend.
Do these tend to be family affairs?
Oh, absolutely. My lovely wife, I hijacked her from her interior decorating career to come and work the window for me. And she's just been great about it. She's not too much in the kitchen, but she handles a lot of the business end, which allows me to go and do the prep and the cooking and the cleaning and things like that.
It sounds like a marriage made in, well, food heaven, I'm going to say that. And to folks that might have just joined us, we are having a wonderful ride aboard Fort Wayne's finest food trucks. And including our two guests today is Bo Gonzalez of Brava's Dogs and John Maxwell of Raging Cajun. Now, another pretty obvious question, I would think. You are so busy year-round. Both with both of your trucks in both public food situations, but how crazy does it get in the summer for you, John?
Very crazy. You know, I mean, you get the phone calls. A lot of people say, "Oh, we have a graduation party this weekend. Are you busy?" Well, how about a little more planning on that, a little more advanced? But with between festivals, events, selling on the street, and pre-planned events. We've really got a full schedule. It does taper off in the fall and in the winter. I don't know about Bo, but I think this year I'm going to hibernate with the truck. Okay? I think we're going to come off the street for a few months.
Well, Bo, what about it? 12 months operation, or do you take it a little easier in the cooler?
We did months. 12 months this year. I figured winter was going to be a great time to work the food truck because we don't have AC in there at all. We just rely on the fryers and the griddle to keep the truck warm. But there were a couple of days where we had the thermometer not in the fridge, but in the actual truck, and it read 17 degrees.
Oh my goodness.
While we were working. So it was at the Brass Rail. We do late night over there, and we did that during the winter, and it was brutal. So I'm also hoping not to have to take the food truck out this winter.
But let me interrupt you here. What makes it difficult in the sub-freezing temperatures is we have our own water systems and own plumbing. Our pipes freeze just like at any house or anything. So if you don't have the hot running water, you're not out on the street.
Yes, yet another challenge. And the challenges certainly are there, but certainly the satisfaction, it sounds like. Now, I am going to ask on behalf of, as we discussed in the first segment, so much the special needs diets and such, and vegetarian diets. Let's take the palate. Do you both have offerings for folks that do not eat meat or dairy?
Absolutely. Our jambalaya is gluten-free. It's made with a rice flour. So that's been a real big, strong selling point on that. We offer vegetarian options. We do a veggie pool boy with goat cheese and a balsamic reduction glaze, and we just keep it fresh like that. Whenever we're in the store picking up disposable items and things like that, whatever's fresh, basil, tomatoes, whatever like that, we'll grab some up. And we pretty, more often than not, have a vegetarian option on the truck.
What about you, Bo?
Yeah, well, we do sell hot dogs. So we started offering veggie dogs. We keep around 10, 15 veggie dogs on the truck. So if a vegetarian does come up, I ask them on Facebook if they send me a message, just, you know, give us a heads up at the window and we'll let you know if you should get in line or not. But generally, we do have veggie options. As for gluten-free, our thing we do is we just give it to you without a bun. Do have one customer that brings his own gluten-free buns and steams them beforehand.
Wow.
That's
dedication.
He is very dedicated. Devotee. And also you have your soon-to-be world-famous potatoes, and many people claim they make a meal of that, and so one is not even missing the meat in that.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, actually. Yeah, our potatoes are vegetarian, gluten-free, all that, and they're pretty delicious.
Well, another question that we are so happy to have you right here in the Fort Land itself, but how big of a radius do you travel in the summer?
How far?
Yeah.
As far as we have to. I try and keep it in a 15-mile radius from Allen County Courthouse.
Okay.
You know, we live in Fort Wayne, we work in Fort Wayne, and as of right now, so far, there's been enough support and enough business for all of us pretty much just to stay in the area right here. Although this August, we just got word a couple of weeks ago through Jim Garrigan, the Fort Wayne Food Truck president. The Fort Wayne Food Truck Association is the exclusive food service provider for the Auburn Core Duesenberg Festival. So all the trucks will be going up in a convoy and spending 2 or 3 days up in Auburn serving their festival.
That is pretty apt, I have to say. And Bo, where do your travels take you?
Yeah, it has to be pretty good for me to want to leave Fort Wayne, especially downtown. We've really established a spot down there where people expect us to be. So if we're not there, even if sales are good somewhere else, you know, I get a lot of tweets about why we weren't downtown today. So I like to stay right in the middle of Fort Wayne usually.
Now that does compare to a brick and mortar restaurant who is at the same place all the time because they can't move their restaurant. How do you do your marketing and your scheduling to let folks know where you're going to be when?
We rely heavily on Facebook and Twitter. We have Facebook statuses and tweets daily that tell you where we are. And like today, we have 4 events, so we will update throughout the whole day. After the next event, we'll say, all right, guys, now we're going to Jefferson Point, or now we're going here. So that's been great for us. And we also have a website that's bravasfood.com that'll, you know, should let you know where we're going to be, what's on the menu. And occasionally, depending on the day, if it's not too busy, we'll throw up our online ordering and you can order online.
And John of Ridge and Cajun?
I couldn't see this business being nearly as successful as it is without Facebook and Twitter because of the cost of advertising and things like that and the spontaneity of where you're going to be. You know, we really rely heavily on that. Like, we get asked all the time, do you have a regular set location? And we're developing those, and one of the biggest ones that's really coming together for us is we have 5, 6, 7 truck. I think Bo's going to be with us this Wednesday. Every Wednesday night at Redeemer Lutheran Church on Rudisill in South Harrison, we have several trucks there. We put chairs and tables up in the parking lot. We're working on getting some entertainment. So you can bring the whole family and you can taste a little bit from this truck and a little bit from there. And it's like a dine around kind of thing. Meet a lot of neighbors. And it's really working out well every Wednesday at Redeemer Church.
Don't have to invite Sean and I twice. And I'm sure our listeners would love it too. So thank you so much for joining us on such a busy Friday Midday Matter.
That's right, John Bo. We appreciate your time today. Thanks so much. Thanks to everybody who's listened, who sent us messages today. I'm Sean Beter for Julia Meek. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Mad Rothschild Studios. It's WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air is coming up next. Have a great day.